Welcome back, everyone, to Science TLDR. Today, we're going to be looking at a paper from Science Translational Medicine called Prior Vaccination Prevents Overactivation of Innate Immune Responses During COVID-19 Breakthrough Infection.
Wow, that's quite a title.
It is quite a title, but very relevant, obviously. As we all know, we're still kind of grappling with COVID and its variants.
Yeah.
And so this paper really dives into how your prior vaccination can affect how your body responds if you get infected again with SARS-CoV-2.
Mm-hmm.
And they're looking specifically at data from the Delta wave, which, as I'm sure many of you remember, led to a lot of those breakthrough infections.
Right.
So the authors were trying to figure out, you know, why those breakthrough infections, while they were happening, were maybe less severe in the people who were vaccinated.
Right.
And they really honed in on this idea of the innate immune system.
Right.
So our first line of defense.
Yeah, first line of defense against any pathogen, really.
Right. And so to do this, they looked at blood samples from three different groups of people.
Right. Yes. They looked at healthy controls who were vaccinated but never infected.
Okay.
Unvaccinated individuals who experienced a primary infection.
Right.
And then, of course, vaccinated individuals who had a breakthrough infection.
Okay. So they had all their bases covered.
Yes.
And it sounds like they used some really in-depth techniques to analyze these samples.
Absolutely. They use single-cell RNA sequencing, mass cytometry, and plasma proteomics.
Wow. So they were really looking at this from a lot of different angles.
Yes. A very comprehensive approach to really dissect the immune response.
Yeah. And one of their really interesting findings was that the breakthrough infections actually had a less intense innate immune response compared to like a primary infection in an unvaccinated person.
Right.
Which is kind of counterintuitive at first.
It is. It is. You would think that a stronger immune response is always better.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's not necessarily the case.
Yeah. So what's going on there?
Well, sometimes that overactive immune response can actually be more detrimental than the infection itself. It's kind of like an overly sensitive smoke detector.
Okay.
A little puck of smoke sets off this huge alarm.
Yeah.
And it causes a lot of chaos and damage.
Right.
So in this case, vaccination might be acting like a recalibration of that smoke detector.
Okay. I like that analogy.
Yeah.
So it's making sure that the immune system responds proportionally to the threat without going overboard.
Exactly. It's all about balance.
Gotcha. And the paper really focuses on the role of monocytes and NK cells. Can you explain a little bit about what those are and why they're so important in this context?
Sure. So monocytes are a type of white blood cell that engulfs pathogens, kind of like little Pac-Man.
Okay.
And they also play a role in triggering inflammation and alerting other immune cells.
Okay.
NK cells, or natural killer cells, are another type of white blood cell, and they're more like specialized assassins that can directly target and eliminate infected cells.
Okay, so they're both really important players in that initial immune response.
Absolutely. They are key players in that first line of defense.
So did they find that these cells were less active in the breakthrough infections?
Yes, exactly.
Right.
So for example, they found that monocytes from breakthrough infections produced lower levels of IP-10, which is a pro-inflammatory signaling protein.
So they weren't sending out as many alarm signals.
Right. They were more restrained.
Interesting. And what about the NK cells? What did they see there?
They found that NK cells in breakthrough infections showed a less activated transcriptomic profile.
Okay, so basically the genes that are involved in mounting an immune response weren't as switched on.
Right. And in addition, the communication pathways that stimulate NK cell proliferation were also downregulated.
So everything was kind of tamped down a little bit.
Exactly. It was a more controlled response.
So do you think this dampened response, especially in the NK cells, could help explain why vaccinated people are less likely to experience that really severe overreaction of the immune system we call a cytokine storm?
That's a very good question, and it's a plausible hypothesis. By modulating the activity of these key immune cells, vaccination might be preventing those potentially life-threatening inflammatory cascades.
Yeah. It's like it's sort of learned to pick its battles a little bit better.
Right. Exactly.
It's not just reacting to everything with the same level of intensity.
Exactly.
So it sounds like this is all pointing towards a more controlled and almost like a measured immune response in people who are vaccinated when they experience those breakthrough infections.
I think that's a great way to put it. Yes.
Yeah.
It's a more tailored response.
Yeah. And on top of that, they found some really interesting sex-based differences in these immune responses.
They did. And that's something we definitely need to explore further.
Yeah. For sure. What kind of differences did they observe?
Well, they found that females actually showed a more robust innate immune response compared to males during breakthrough infections.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Interesting. Can you give some specific examples of those differences?
Sure. So, for instance, NK cells in females had higher expression of activation markers like CD01C and HLA-DR. These markers basically indicate that the cells are in a heightened state of alertness and ready to fight off the virus.
Right.
And they also found higher levels of inflammatory markers like artemin and transcell in the plasma of females.
So does that mean that women are actually better protected against breakthrough infections?
That's a tricky question, and it's not that straightforward.
Okay.
A stronger immune response isn't always better. Remember,
yeah.
Sometimes it can actually increase the risk of those overreactions we talked about.
Yeah, so it's not necessarily a good thing to have a super strong immune response all the time.
Exactly. It's all about finding the right balance.
Right. That sweet spot.
Exactly.
So it sounds like we need to be really careful about how we interpret these sex-based differences.
We do. It's not about saying that one sex has a better immune system or anything like that. It's about understanding how biological sex influences the immune response so we can develop more personalized approaches to vaccination and treatment.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And while this research really focused on the innate immune response, it did touch on adaptive immunity as well.
Right.
So that's kind of like our immune system's long-term memory. What did they find there?
Well, it wasn't the primary focus of the study, but they did observe some interesting differences in the adaptive immune responses between the groups.
Mm-hmm.
They found that in breakthrough infections, there was reduced transcriptomic activation in various B and T cell subsets compared to primary infections.
So what does that mean in plain English?
Basically, it suggests that vaccination might be shaping adaptive immunity even in the context of a breakthrough infection.
Oh, interesting.
It's like giving the adaptive immune system a head start so it can recognize and neutralize the virus more quickly the next time it encounters it.
So it's still learning and adapting even if you do get a breakthrough infection.
Exactly. It's constantly evolving.
Yeah. So it sounds like we're starting to piece together this really complex puzzle of how the immune system interacts with SARS-CoV-2.
We are, but it's still a very complex puzzle with a lot of pieces missing.
Right. Yeah. We got a long way to go, but it's fascinating to see how much we're learning.
It is. It's a very dynamic field.
So this study looked at their findings in another group of people to validate their results.
They did. Yes, let's talk about that. Right. So they wanted to make sure that what they were seeing wasn't just a fluke, you know, specific to the people in their study or the particular vaccines they were looking at.
Right. So they needed to make sure it wasn't just some kind of weird outlier.
Exactly. So to do that, they looked at data from a completely different group of people who were part of a study of the ChAdOx1 UnCoV-199 vaccine.
Okay. So that's the one that's better known as the AstraZeneca vaccine, right?
That's right.
And did they find similar results in this group?
Yes, they did, which is really encouraging.
Okay, so that's really good news because it means that this effect isn't limited to just one type of vaccine.
Exactly. It seems to be a more general phenomenon.
So it suggests that no matter which vaccine you get, you're still going to have this kind of modulated immune response if you experience a breakthrough infection.
Right. And that's really important because it means that vaccination is providing a benefit even if you do get sick.
Right. It's not just about preventing infection altogether. It's also about making sure that if you do get infected, the disease isn't as severe.
Exactly.
So can you tell us a little bit more about what they specifically observed in this validation cohort?
Sure. So in this group, they also focused on monocytes, and they found a reduction in the expression of several interferon-stimulated genes, or ISGs.
Okay. And those are important for fighting off viruses, right?
Yes. They're a key part of the antiviral response.
Okay.
And they also saw a decrease in the expression of VEGFA, which is involved in cell migration and blood vessel formation.
Okay. And if we think back to our earlier discussion about a controlled immune response, it seems like this could be another way that vaccination is helping to regulate things right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. By controlling the movement of immune cells, vaccination might be preventing them from overaccumulating at the site of infection.
Okay, so it's like it's preventing that traffic jam of immune cells that can sometimes cause more harm than good.
Right, exactly.
And did they see similar things with the NK cells in this validation group?
Yes, they did.
Okay.
They observed a decrease in CD38 expression, which is a marker of NK cell activation.
Okay.
And they also saw reduced expression of genes involved in NK cell proliferation and their ability to kill infected cells.
So again, it's like everything is just dialed down a little
bit. Exactly. It's a more measured response.
So it's really interesting to see this pattern emerge in a completely different group of people who received a different vaccine.
It is. It really strengthens the argument that vaccination is fundamentally changing how our immune systems deal with this virus.
Right. It's like it's teaching our bodies how to respond more effectively.
Exactly. And that's a really powerful thing.
Yeah. So why is this important? Why should scientists and experts care about these findings?
Well, I think there are a few key takeaways here.
Okay.
First of all, it really highlights the importance of vaccination in reducing the severity of COVID-19.
Even if you get a breakthrough infection.
Exactly. It's not just about preventing infection altogether. It's also about making sure that if you do get infected, the disease is milder.
And that's especially important as we continue to see new variants emerge, right?
Absolutely.
Because we don't know what the future holds with this virus.
Right. We need to be prepared for anything.
And this study suggests that vaccination is a really important tool in our arsenal.
It is. It's one of the most effective tools we have.
What else? What other takeaways are there?
Well, I think another important takeaway is that it challenges the idea that a stronger immune response is always better.
Right. We've been talking about that.
Yeah. And this study really underscores the importance of finding the right balance.
Yeah, sweet spot.
Exactly. You don't want the immune system to be underactive, but you also don't want it to be overactive.
Right. You need it to be just right.
Exactly. And I think the third takeaway is that we need to start thinking more about personalized approaches to vaccination and treatment.
Okay.
We can't just assume that everyone is going to respond to the vaccine or to the virus in the same way.
Right. We need to take individual differences into account.
Exactly. And this study really highlights the importance of considering biological sex as one of those individual differences.
Yeah, that was a really interesting finding.
It was, and it opens up a lot of new avenues for research.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. So where do we go from here? What are the next steps?
Well, I think one of the most exciting areas of research is looking at how we can tailor vaccines to different individuals.
Yeah.
Can we create vaccines that are specifically designed for men or women?
For sure.
Can we create vaccines that are tailored to people with certain underlying health conditions?
Yeah, that would be amazing.
It would revolutionize the way we approach vaccination.
So it sounds like this is just the beginning of a whole new era of personalized medicine.
I think it is. And I'm really excited to see where it takes us. Right. So we've covered a lot of ground today, but I think it's always helpful to kind of step back and summarize what we've learned.
Definitely. It helps to crystallize those key points.
Yeah, absolutely. So first and foremost, this study provides really solid evidence that having been vaccinated before significantly reduces how strong that initial immune response is if you do end up with a breakthrough infection.
Right. So it's kind of reinforcing that even if you do get a breakthrough infection, being vaccinated is still giving you some protection.
Exactly. It's like a buffer against that initial onslaught of the virus.
And that dampening of the immune response is probably why most vaccinated people experience milder symptoms, even if they get sick.
Right. That's very likely. It's preventing that overreaction that can lead to those more severe cases of COVID.
So it seems like the goal is kind of shifting from just preventing infection altogether to also making sure that if you do get infected, it's not as bad.
Right. It's about mitigating the severity of the disease.
Yeah. And then the other big takeaway is that sex really matters when it comes to the immune response to this virus.
It does. We can't ignore those differences.
Right. Like we were talking about earlier, it's not about one sex having a better immune system or anything like that.
No, not at all.
It's just about understanding how those biological differences play a role.
Exactly. And using that knowledge to develop better treatments and prevention strategies.
And this study just scratches the surface of those sex-based differences.
It does. There's so much more to explore.
This has been a really fascinating deep dive. It's amazing to see how much we're learning about this virus and how our immune systems respond to it.
It is. It's a rapidly evolving field.
But like you said, there's still a lot we don't know.
Oh, absolutely. And I think one of the most interesting questions is how prior exposure, whether through vaccination or infection, actually trains the immune system to respond better the next time it sees the virus.
Right. So how does it learn and adapt?
Exactly. And can we use that knowledge to design even better vaccines or develop therapies that specifically target the immune response?
Those are really big questions.
They are. And they're questions that scientists all over the world are working to answer.
Well, this study has definitely given us a lot to think about.
It has. It's an important step forward in our understanding of this virus.
Well, to our listeners, thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive into the world of immunology and COVID-19. We hope you found it informative and engaging.
Yes. Thanks for listening.
And as always, we encourage you to keep those scientific minds curious and stay tuned for more fascinating insights from the world of research. Until next time.